to 167 Hours Beyond Sunday, a companion podcast to the sermons of Crossroads Christian Church in Gray, Tennessee, where we try to go beyond the message and talk about what life looks like in the 167 hours we're not in church week. I'm your host, my name is Ryan Evans, and today I'm joined by our pastoral care and men's minister, Patrick Chella. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. So we're entering into the season that you hate and I love when it's starting to get a little bit cooler outside.
That's right.
So one of the things that Patrick likes to give me crap about, there's a smart way to say it, is I'll be wearing shorts or t-shirts and it's too cold and Patrick will be a little bundled up.
Yeah, I don't understand why. You know, it is cold and you are in short pants. That doesn't work good for my mind.
Well, you got, so like, especially the first like couple of years I worked with you here, I was a little heftier than I am now. You know, once I lost some weight, when I was trying to be healthier, I started to get cold. I lost my insulation, started to actually feel a little bit cold, but it's kind of better. Hey, so I think a lot of people hear the term pastoral care. I think most people know what men's ministry is, but I think a lot of people hear pastoral care and they might not actually understand what that is and why that work is valuable. So can you kind of tell us what is the pastoral care part of your job? What do you do?
Part of my job in pastoral care is to care for people, especially doing visitation and visit people in the hospitals or in their homes, visit with them wherever they are when they need some care of some sort. It can be care in terms of somebody is struggling with health issues, mm-hmm. or maybe some spiritual issues.
Yeah.
And so the pastoral care goes in all, you know, kinds of areas where people struggle with life issues.
Yeah. Does that ever weigh on you, like emotionally? Like, do you ever carry some of that stuff home with you?
I try not to carry stuff like that with me home.
Yeah.
I like dealing with people's issues where they are,
yeah,
and pray with them. I would feel emotionally moved, mm-hmm. when interacting with them, but after I leave, I want to kind of switch my mind off. It's not easy to do that, but over time, I've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah,
I've learned to switch off immediately after that because it can weigh you down.
Yeah, I will say that is definitely a skill that you have to get better at. So funny story. When I was a freshman in college, Curtis was my youth ministry professor, and he actually made us go do a visitation with a hospital chaplain. And I remember plucky freshman, energetic Ryan got to the hospital and was all happy and ready to, you know, no big deal, I'm so excited to be here. Yeah. And then I shadowed the chaplain as he went through the critical care unit of the hospital. I was just there for about 45 minutes. And by the time I got back to my car, I was crying because I was, you know, it's these horrible things are happening all the time. People, families are going through hard, hard stuff all the time. And we're kind of blind to it. But when you're in a pastoral care position, you're jumping in the trenches with them. You're like right there alongside of them. So hats off to you, sir. I don't know if I would be able to do that very well. I think I would take it home with me.
Well, it's all about compassionate heart. If you're moved by compassion, mm-hmm. for others, you will want to reach out to them. And it calls for empathy and a lot of connection with people. When I first did it, I wasn't sure whether I was going to get into that ministry.
Yeah.
It happened like you at school, at Emmanuel, and because it's a requirement to do that. And my first time, I couldn't easily go into the room. And when I did, I started, getting used to it. But it had to take sometimes a prayer before I went into somebody's room. I would stand a little bit or go into the chapel, uh-huh. and pray because
you keep yourself ready before you go in there. Yeah.
And, I had to prepare my mind psychologically And also spiritually. But it wasn't easy. The first time it was difficult because, you know, I looked different from everyone. And I didn't know whether I would be accepted or not.
Yeah.
Sometimes I was not accepted, but I think it wasn't because of me being an African.
Yeah.
Maybe it was because maybe this person comes from a different religion.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to hear any other, you know, or a Christian come to speak to them.
Yeah, I'm sure a certain degree, like you never, especially when someone's going through grief like that, mm-hmm. you never quite know where they're going to be at mentally, emotionally, if they're ready for that. I really do think pastoral care is one of those things that seems so simple, just going in, praying with a family and being there. But it's one of the most meaningful things that anyone does at the church. I have a lot of respect for y'all doing that.
And you know, especially in the hospital, if you're doing it to the members of the church, they know that our pastor is going to come and pray with me or encourage me mm-hmm. in some way. But if you're doing it for the hospital as a chaplain, you know, you don't expect to pray all the time. It should be the patient who should lead you that way, because some of the patients are not Christians. So, but you're going to visit with them and encourage them. They are the ones that are supposed to lead you into a discussion or to lead you into what their needs are.
Yeah.
So if you walk into a room and say, hey, I'm here to pray with you, it may not work good for you.
Well, that's some good advice. Because I think any of us should, you know, I know that's part of your job, but all of us as Christians should be trying to be there for people when they're hurting and stuff. Now, you mentioned, you know, obviously you're African. And I think a lot of people in the church kind of know your story and how you came here and why you came over. But would you mind giving us like a brief version of that? Like, when did you come to America? Why did you come here? And how did you wind up at Crossroads?
Oh, well, we came to the U.S. with my family, my wife with three girls, mm-hmm. 18 years ago. So we came 2002 to study at Johnson University. And then after 3 years, we moved to Emmanuel, mm-hmm. Johnson City, at Emmanuel Christian Seminary. By then it was Emmanuel School of Religion.
Yeah.
And to study for further ministry. And I joined as a member at Crossroads.
Yeah.
And then during that time, I had a lot of interest in pastoral care.
Mm-hmm.
And I would jump in the car, convertible car, Clint's convertible car.
Oh, yeah.
Drive around visiting members of the church.
That is a buddy cop movie I would want to watch, is Patrick Cella and Clint Andrews in the convertible going around.
I mean, people would just say, hey, we saw you, and your hair was all over in there. I said, well, I don't have hair.
It looked like you were riding around with Santa Claus the other day. What were you?
Yeah,
because I think, I'm not sure, if I remember correctly, I think you got hired on to staff just a little bit before I did, right?
Yeah.
I came in a little over 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I remember I came up during the summer just to work on some stuff, and you were filling out your work documents and things like that to get ready to come on to staff.
Yeah, yeah.
That feels like forever ago and also a couple days ago in some ways. So this last Sunday, Patrick Mitchell taught us, and you know, the kind of the whole theme of the day was slow food and the value of really taking time with Scripture and meditating on it. And I was curious, you know, as an immigrant coming here, what is your perspective on fast food in America when you first got here?
Well, first of all, fast food is a Western concept. At the moment, I don't know, because since we've been here for about
18 years,
things have changed. You know, culture is dynamic, and language as well. We borrow a lot of, you know, words and a lot of cultural areas of life come from different parts of the world.
Yeah.
If you went to Zambia, you'd find a lot of American stuff in mm-hmm. Africa, or in Zambia particularly. But the time we left Zambia, this concept of fast food
mm-hmm.
wasn't known to us. So when I first heard about this, I said, what? You mean you eat fast. Is that what that means? And, you know, it was like, okay, in Zambia, we don't have that kind of understanding of food being, you know, fast food.
Yeah.
Because our food, you can't eat in Shima with relish. Relish would be like beef,
okay,
pork, any cooked vegetable to eat alongside in Shima. If it is not well cooked, it won't taste good in your mouth.
Yeah.
So you really need to take good cooking on the beef and chicken or vegetables so that it can mix good in the mouth.
Yeah. I was reflecting after the sermon yesterday after hearing Patrick talk, and I was sitting there thinking, you know, especially in America, it seems like we have become so blessed with immediacy. Like, as consumers, we can get whatever we want very quickly, almost to a detriment. Like, I was thinking about even the difference between when I was a kid and now with something like watching a movie. Used to, if we wanted to watch a movie, you might have to drive to a rental store, pick out a film, pay for it, drive home, you know, and it might have been on a VHS, you know, so you have to watch through or want, you know. Now, if I want to watch a movie, I could be watching a movie on my phone within 3 minutes. And that has changed so rapidly that I think our attention spans and our patience to really take the time and dig into things has diminished in many ways. So it's just interesting to think about. So, you know, Patrick talked specifically about the concept of meditating on scripture in his sermons. And we don't often associate meditation with Christianity. So I was curious, have you practiced meditation before? What do you know about it?
Yeah, meditation, for me, all the time I read scripture for my spiritual enrichment, I meditate upon scripture because I understand that meditation is simply engaging your thoughts with the scripture. You mm-hmm. want to read scripture in a way that you interact your mind with God.
Yeah.
I read the scripture asking questions like, is this a command that I must obey? Is God, when he spoke to these people, either through the prophets or through the apostles, was he giving them a command that I must also, you know, obey?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this a fact that I must know, add to my knowledge about my spiritual life or as a Christian? Sometimes I read scripture in a journalistic way, asking questions like, who is speaking here? Is this the writer who is speaking? Are these his own words or are these God's word? Is God speaking to the people through the prophets? What is he saying?
Yeah, what's the context here? What's going on?
Yes.
How did that person feel?
Why was he giving them this command? When was this?
Mm-hmm.
Where did this happen? How? And so, that's how. And usually it has to be in a quiet time, a time when you go to a solitary place. Where it might be in the house or somewhere where it is usually quiet in the room. It might be if it is during the day. Mostly I like reading scripture when I rise up from sleep.
Okay.
When my mind is still fresh before I engage in too many other things. I'll read the scripture, meditating upon it, thinking through what's God's command for me today.
Yeah. And I think I was trying to think about, because I know I've talked to so many students, I've talked to so many adults who really struggle with having a consistent prayer life and a consistent studying time with Scripture. And I wonder to a certain degree if our impatience in our culture and kind of the way we've designed ourselves as consumers is, I think we almost think of reading Scripture or prayer as a task that we should accomplish as quickly as we possibly can. That way we can move on to our next thing, which is super unfortunate because the concept, especially meditating on something, means that you're spending time with it. Mm-hmm. You're not thinking about what's next. You're not moving on in your mind. You're spending time doing the work, really putting yourself into the passage, really listening for what you can learn from it. And I know that that can be incredibly difficult for a lot of us in many moments. Have you ever had any struggles with any of that?
Yeah, first, I started this practice. It's a discipline, actually, which I call from a borrowed terminology of some a professor who came to Zambia from Regent College in Canada.
Okay.
He wrote a book called Disciplines of the Hungry Heart.
Disciplines of the Hungry Heart.
Yes. And you see, but that's where I borrow the terminology of, am I forgetting what I'm trying to say? Well, what I want to say is that the discipline should be habituated. You should grow into the habit.
Yeah.
And in discipleship, when I was engaged a lot in discipleship, we would help the beginners with start spending something like 7 minutes every day.
Mm-hmm.
You go to a solitary place. You just spend 7 minutes. You can read maybe a passage of 10 verses, but focus maybe on one verse,
mm-hmm.
and think about that passage.
Yeah.
And you can confess within 7 minutes. You can intercede within 7 minutes. You can petition within 7 minutes. And do that each and every day until you increase on 7 minutes. Tomorrow, after a week, you might do 8 minutes, or you might do 10 minutes, or you might do 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Until, you know, you grow into the habit. So, and also it depends on how you understand God.
Yeah.
And how you reflect on God. Who is God to you? Do you speak to God like you speak to your parents?
Hmm.
Do you spend a month before you speak to your parents?
Hmm.
You speak to your parents. If you're a child growing with your parents, you speak to them every day.
I mean, if you expect to have a good relationship with God,
yeah.
but you're not spending any time yeah. with Him, that relationship's yeah. gonna be bad.
Yeah,
that makes sense inherently. Yeah. yeah.
And for you to connect with others, first of in a better way, first of all, your life with God must be. You must be sound. You have to connect with God first before you can connect with others. You must have the influence of God in your life before you can interact with other people. Where do you start from? You start from little time, and you build on that little time little by little. If you plunge into it, you go into it like you're going to spend 1 hour into it tomorrow, you may not do that.
Yeah.
Because you'll find it to be so, you know, so hard. Or sometimes reading scripture sometimes can be boring, you know, because you come like to Leviticus or Numbers.
yeah, you that's come up, to that Numbers came up last week a little bit, yeah.
And you don't see what you can get from that. Or you are reading about something in the past, and maybe it does, you know, in this time of fast everything, especially in America, you know, you want to very quickly go to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to build on time, starting little. And tomorrow you again turn to it 7 minutes until you build on that. It may, I do an hour every day. Sometimes I go on personal retreats, spiritual retreats,
yeah.
where you're going to spend something like 24 hours or 48 hours. And so it all comes from building little by little.
Yeah.
Little by little. Sometimes with men's ministry, whenever we have done retreats, we have set aside 1 hour in the afternoon, immediately after lunch.
Mm-hmm.
We take an hour off. We go as individuals
mm-hmm.
and spend that 1 hour reading scripture meditatively, and, you know,
see, that'd
just
be
engaging.
That'd be so bad for me if it's the hour after lunch. I might be falling asleep out.
I mean, when you meditate on scripture, as you are thinking on it, it is good. You can sleep. That's fine.
No, I was also just making. So here, you know, those are all the positive aspects. I'm curious. So in your life, what are some things that you've noticed causes you to struggle to maintain? Like, have you ever broken that good habit? Like, are there things that get in the way of you having a good biblical or prayer life?
Oh, yeah. A lot of time. Even now, I have a lot of things that disturb. If I go to sleep late and wake up, you know, I must do my work from starting at 8. And if I wake up slightly before 8, there is no way I'm going to do, scripture.
Yeah,
then when I come to the office, then the first few minutes I will spend reading the scripture and praying, and then I go into doing my work.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of other things, like maybe if I travel around and I'm tired, I won't be able to read the scripture the way I read it. And especially if I'm also rushing.
Yeah.
You know, so there could be, there are a lot of things that...
and I think a lot of our, I'm sure a lot of our audience can connect with some of that stuff. You know, it's interesting. We have more technology and more availability than ever before. Like, theoretically, as people, we should be less busy than we have ever been as people. Mm. You know, we have rapid access to everything. We can get things done quicker. But alongside of technology, there's a lot of things that get in the way now, too. There's a lot more distractions. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot more things out there to pull us away from the stuff that matters. So I'm sure a lot of people can connect with a lot of those things. So you just shared some of your practices and different things. You know, Patrick, this last Sunday, shared Lectio Divina with a lot of us. And if you weren't here, I just want to kind of review it quickly. Basically, it's an old church practice of it's lectio, meditatio, meditatio, oratio, contemplatio. I'm saying this all wrong. I'm gonna want to go back and re-record this, but I'm gonna leave it in so you all know I'm being honest. But basically, it's reading, meditating, praying, contemplating. He used, you know, the four R's: read, reflect, respond, rest, which is, you know, in order to run through that practice, you know, you have to set aside an appropriate amount of time. You have to actually read and then meditate on it, and then, you know, really think through and reflect on it, and then pray about it. And then even, that contemplate state, you know, that can be rest, but I think that carries on throughout the rest of your week. You know, one of my favorite times as a minister here is when me and three other speakers all preached on the book of Jonah together. So for about 2 months, we were all reading through the book of Jonah over and over again, and we were comparing stuff and talking to each other about it through it. And it was kind of through that process that we really grew and kind of learned even kind of deeper. You know, it was like interesting to hear multiple perspectives on it. So you know, you provided a way just a second ago to dig into scripture. Patrick provided a perspective in Lectio Divina, and I want to end kind of talking about this. There's more than one way to skin a cat, right? So I think one of the worst things we can do as Christians is say there's only one way to succeed at doing this, because all of us are different, and also variety is the spice of life. So it might be reading at the same time in a certain habit every day for you, but that doesn't necessarily have to be the only way that you engage with scripture. So with that in mind, Patrick, do you have any like passages or scripture that you would point to new readers to as a good jumping off place for starting to read the Bible?
Scriptures like Psalms 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path.
Mm-hmm.
I call that as an appetizer. and you know, we need enough light, so that the next, so we can take the next step. We take it just and right. And Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making wise the simple. These are kind of appetizing scriptures to help you read the scripture. Because why should we read the scripture? You know, we have to have a purpose of reading the scripture, because scripture is not like a novel or any other book we can think of. Scripture is something that must, like Patrick defined meditation, that we think about and that takes us closer in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
So scripture, we read scripture to find God speaking into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So His word can influence our lives as well as we can influence other people's lives. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate. So scripture is not just like any other book. It carries the breath of God in it. Mm-hmm. And so I think those would be a few scriptures I would share. I find them to be appetizing scriptures for me.
Yeah, well, you know, and you know, kind of what you're saying is the Bible isn't, it really isn't like a lot of other books. And a part of that is it's not just a book. It's several books. It's several letters. It's several things. There's all kinds of stuff in there. There's wisdom literature. There's poetry. There's stories. There's history. I mean,
yeah, it's a library of books.
Yeah. So one of the neat things is there really is a variety, even within the, you know, the collection of books it is, there's a lot of variety there, which can add some appetizing, an appetizing nature to listeners. You know, there's a little bit of everything. The Psalms are very personal and very, very emotional in a lot of ways, whereas Proverbs is very, you know, wisdom, and it's not very cut. You know, there's not a lot of, here's exactly what you should do in Proverbs. There's a lot of, how do you interpret this and how do you apply it? And then, there's all kinds of different stories of history and things. So there's definitely a lot in there for us to be excited about. Just to kind of bring us all the way back to the beginning on this, if you approach scripture like fast food, you're probably not going to have a great connection to it. If you rush through it, if it's a task that you want to get done as fast as possible, then you're probably really not going to enjoy it. Or on the flip side, it's not going to do a whole lot for you. If your goal is read through your chapter before you go to sleep as fast as you can, but you're not actually taking the time to learn about what's going on or remember what happened before or really, you know, dive into it and put yourself in the shoes of the people in the story, then you're missing out on quite a bit. So with that being said, Patrick, do you have any parting words of wisdom for us before we wrap this thing up?
Maybe what I would say is reading scripture shouldn't be done like what you think about something, then you go to the scripture and say, well, let me find what God is saying to me today. But I think the best way to read scripture is to choose a book and crawl through it. Reading slowly. You can read it for as long as you want to read it, but it's important to crawl through. Read it slowly, little by little, meditatively. You can read scripture in two ways or three ways. You can read scripture by crawling through it to enrich yourself spiritually. Second, you can read scripture for knowledge, just to make sure that you keep the knowledge that you know, that you don't lose it. You can choose to read through scripture in a year. If you read scripture for the whole Bible in a year, it will be different from reading it meditatively, because if you're reading it meditatively, there is no way you can read the whole Bible in a year.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's advisable to read, to choose a book. Like, especially, I advise most starters or beginners to start with the letters of John, First John, or the Gospels.
Yeah.
And read it slowly, trying to understand Jesus, the life of Jesus, or try to understand connecting God with what kind of attitude we ought to have as Christians. Mm-hmm. And so, or beginning with shorter books would be a good way to begin.
Like yeah, for those of us who maybe have shorter attention spans, and there are some page turners in there. You know, there's you know, like Philemon, you can get done in probably about 5 minutes if you really want to.
And Jude. Mm-hmm. I'm reading, right now I'm crawling through the book of Jude. Mm-hmm. You know, it has only about 25 verses.
Yeah.
So...
there's all kinds, and we live in a day and age where there's so many resources out there. There are commentaries on books, so if you want to know like historical context or what maybe the author was trying to do, there's things like the Bible Project. I love the Bible Project. It's a website that has illustrations and kind of summaries of certain books. It has word studies and things that you can dive into. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of resources out there. The important part is that you are doing something. You know, start with a little step if you need to, but get in there if you can. And you know, there's all kinds of different practices. Find whatever works and stick with it, because you're right. It is a habit that we have to create over time. So I want to thank all of you for joining us this week. If you'd like to keep up with what our church is doing or join in on other activities, you can find more content on our Facebook page, Crossroads Christian Church in Gray, Tennessee. You can also check out our website, crossroadsgray.org, or you can find all kinds of content for kids, for students, and adults on our YouTube channel by searching for Crossroads Christian. Thank you all for joining us this week, and don't forget to make the most of the rest of your 167 hours.